St. Luke 15, 1 through 10, when you have it, would you say amen? God is good. Amen. Again, remember, we're going to be here all month. Amen. So take your time, read it. Amen. Go home, get familiar with the scripture, St. Luke 15, even read 14. 14 is good too. Amen. I'm actually throwing something from 14 today. 14 is excellent, but 15 is where we'll spend our time all month of June. So read it. And you might come up with some questions that I might answer in my sermons. Amen. And if you got questions that I don't answer in my sermons, send me after church and I'll explain it to you. Glory to God. St. Luke 15, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. God is great. Amen. And we thank him today for his goodness. Verses 1 through 10, scripture says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to Jesus to listen to him teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of the law complain that he was associating himself with such sinful people, even eating with them. And so Jesus told this story. He said, if a man had 100 sheep, but one of them got lost, what will he do? He'll leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that was lost until he finds. And when he finds it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together all his friends and all his neighbors and tell them, rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God over the 99 others who are righteous and never stray. Or suppose a woman who had 10 silver coins loses one. Won't she light up a candle and light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, won't she call her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin? In the same way, there's joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner comes home and repents. Amen. Hallelujah. There's joy. There's joy in the heavens. Verse 4. And 5, if a man had 100 sheep, but one got lost, what will he do? He will leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one until he finds it. And when he finds it, he will bring it home, carrying it on his shoulders, being so joyful. And suppose a woman had 10 silver coins, but loses one. She'll light a lamp, light a candle, and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it. In the same way, there's joy. Presence of God's angels when even one sinner comes home and repents. Amen. For a little while, we're going to use for God for today. His grace is amazing. Amen. His grace is amazing. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. His grace. Amen. His grace. Amen. Search for me. Amen. His grace. Look for me. Amen. His grace is amazing. Hallelujah. As mentioned, we're going to be in Luke 15 all month long. So I encourage you to read it, get familiar with it so we can know exactly, amen, what we're getting ourselves into, amen. We can be familiar with it and we can know, amen. That's an opportunity for us, amen, to stay connected, amen, with the Word of God. Some of us, sometimes we read the Word, we don't know where to start, what to do, amen. My pastor used to always tell us, amen, tell the church, listen, amen, if you don't know what to read, hey, how about you read the chapter before what the preacher preached that Sunday, and the chapter of and the chapter after, amen. That'll keep you busy all week long if you read the chapter before. So in this case, Luke 14, Luke 15, and Luke 16. If you read those three chapters, amen, all week long, that'll keep you busy and give you something to read and something to digest. Amen. So it's important for us, amen, not just to come to church, but to be the church. Amen. Get the church inside of us. And the only way to do that is to spend time in his word, spend time in his presence. I challenge you, amen. Read the Bible. Amen. You may not understand it, amen, but it's not, that's important because the scriptures is revealed, amen, to us. It's hidden. And the only way we understand it is if God shows it to us. It shows us what it means. He reveals his word to us. And so we can't approach it like any other book. We have to ask the Lord for understanding. We have to ask him to open our eyes, to our spiritual eyes, to ask him for revelation and knowledge and wisdom. And he'll give it to us. And so we have to read the word. We have to approach it a certain way. So I challenge everybody to read and study your Bible. Amen. Get into his presence. Read, pray, study. Amen. Do what you have to do. Fast with us. Amen. We have a fast. You can fast with the church. Amen. You can fast on your own. Get outside, amen, of the church and do what God is calling us to do. So I challenge you. I challenge you. St. Luke 15 is a chapter of parables. It's comprised of three different parables. A parable is a non-spiritual story that illustrates for us the spiritual truth. Amen. A parable helps us to understand, amen, in our practical terms, what Jesus is trying to tell us in the spirit. He gives us a story, amen, that has nothing to do with spiritual things, but he gives us a story that we can relate to so that we can understand the spiritual truth behind what he wants to teach us. And these parables in this chapter reveal to us and illustrate to us what happens when something is lost in our lives, what happens when something that is dear to us, that we love, that we enjoy, that we like, when something is lost. It shows how our response is and what we do when we lose something. It also shows how God responds when we are lost. We'll look at all three parables again throughout the whole month. Amen. And the first two we'll look at today. The next one we'll look at over the next 3 weeks. You see, the first parable, amen, we read is about a man who had 100 sheep but loses one. And when he loses one of his sheep, it shows how what he would do to find it. He would go to great lengths to find his lost sheep. He'll leave, amen, the 99 behind to make sure that he finds that one that was lost. Although he had 99 others sitting at the thing, amen, the 99 really don't matter. The one that's lost, he will find it. Amen. That's like saying if one of my kids got lost, I said, well, I got four more. It's not a big deal. No, I'm going to search frantically until I find my lost child. Amen. That happened to me twice in my whole life. Amen. My oldest son and my oldest daughter, amen, they are escape artists and adventure takers. Amen. Amen. I was in Ike Center one time, four or three years ago. You know how big the Ike Center is, huge. And my son, he just turned 7 Friday, hey, next one, make sure you tell him happy birthday, happy belated birthday. He just turned 7, but then he was like 4 or 3, but he was so like adventurous, daredevilish, all these things, no fear, no doubt. And so we went to the bathroom, and when we got there, amen, he decided, I let him go down to Nicholas, and he decided when I was taking Nicholas, I was taking too long, so he's going to go back and find mommy on his own. That boy was lost for an hour. Now, all the thoughts that went through my mind, of all the things, the possibilities, and all these things, and I'm just, like, trying to stay calm, but I'm praying, and I'm thinking, and I'm doing all these things, and I'm looking, searching frantically for my son. That's what we do. If we lose something that's dear to us, we will search frantically until we find it. Amen. I lost my daughter who was in Florida. Amen. And I was like, I came here with five kids. I'm going to leave with four. I can't do this. No, no, Lord. Help us to find this kid. And the Lord blessed us. Amen. Not even long. And I had that other experience to lean on, though. I knew that the Lord would bless. Amen. He really did. It wasn't even that long. We found her, and they said, well, she was so smart. When I walked up, she said, is your name Charles? I said, how you know my name? She said, because your daughter knew your name. She knew your first name. She knew your last name. And she was on it. She knew it for every time, too. She knew your first name. She knew your last name. So I thank God, amen, because we found what was lost, amen. It's easy to do. It's not something that we like, but it's sometimes easy to do, amen, when we have so many things going on. But, amen, when you lose something or lose somebody, amen, you search frantically. Just because I have four of the children doesn't mean the one that I lost is not as important as the other four that I have. Amen. And so the scripture talks about this man who lost his sheep, and he began because he lost that one. He had 99 other ones, but the 99 other ones, amen, didn't matter. He went after the one that was lost. We look at the one, the lady who had 10 silver coins, and she loses one of her coins in the house. It shows how she would go through great lengths to find what was lost. She'll find her lost coin. Although she has 9 other coins to hold on to, amen, the one that was lost is important, and she will go after the one that was lost. In the same way, if we lose something, amen, we go through great lengths to find what we lost. Amen. Think about it. What do you do when you lose something? Amen. You may not lose a key. You may lose the remote. You go through great lengths. Come on, somebody. defying that remote. You might lose your keys, amen. You might lose something, amen, small, amen, smaller than a child. You might lose a dollar bill, amen. I'm not talking about 20 or 100. I'm not talking about 200. I'm talking about $1. You might lose $1. You're going to search the... Where my daughter at? Come on, somebody. You know, amen, that you do what you got to do. You tear up the house. You tear up the car. You rearrange the furniture. You ask your husband. You ask your spouse. You ask your wife. You ask your kids. Help me find my whatever I lost. You search high and low until you find what's been lost. And see, that's exactly what the man in the text did and the woman in the text did. They found, amen, what was lost because they was relentlessly searching. Until they found it. The woman lit a lamp and swept her house carefully to be sure she found her lost coin. The man left the 99 sheep without a shepherd temporarily so that he could find his lost sheep. And once the woman found her lost coin, and once the man found his lost sheep, they were so excited they called their friends, they called their neighbors to let them know, hey man, I found my lost sheep. Let's celebrate together because I found what was lost. I got a question for you, hey man. Are you like that lost coin? Amen. Are you like that lost sheep? Amen. Looking where you have people looking for you. Amen. You out lost. Or you out of place. Amen. Where you shouldn't be. Isaiah 53 verse 6 lets us to know all of us like sheep have gone astray.
Yes.
We have left God's path for our own path. In other words, all of us, amen, whether you admit it or not, amen, are like that sheep, amen, in the story. All of us, amen, are like that coin in the story. All of us, amen, can relate at one time or another to that sheep, to that coin that has been lost. You see, sometimes we're enticed by sin. Sometimes we're enticed by distractions. We sometimes are enticed by the things of the world. Sometimes we're enticed by our own evil desires, which makes us leave the safety of God's pasture to go out and explore what is in the wilderness. Amen. You see, the pasture is where safety is. The pasture is where the shepherd can keep watch over us and make sure, amen, that nothing bad happens to us. The pasture is where we allow ourselves, amen, to be around other sheep. We allow ourselves to be around, amen, in the acquaintance of safety. We make sure that the wolves that are after us, the wolves that are trying to eat us as prey, don't have access to us because we're in the safety of the pasture. But so you see, it makes us wander from the pasture. It makes us vulnerable, amen, when we wander. When we wander, it makes us vulnerable to our enemy. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, stay alert. Watch out for your enemy, the devil. You see, he prowls around, look like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, seeking who he may devour. When we stray from the pasture, when we stray from safety, we become in danger of being devoured by our enemy. And you see, the wolves, they like young weak sheep because they can't really fight back. They don't have the smarts, amen, to get away. So they look for vulnerable, weak, amen, timid sheep that are out there lost and out there wandering. And they are excited when they see those because they know, amen, that they're not smart enough really to get away. And the enemy in the same way is looking for those weak Christians. The enemy in the same way is looking for those lazy Christians. The enemy is looking for those excuse-making Christians. He's looking for those idle Christians, those Christians that are uncommitted. He's looking for the ones that won't read, amen. Even though I challenge you today to read, amen, many of us will go home and still won't read. Amen, he's looking for you, amen, he's looking for you. Amen, he's looking for the ones that won't pray. He's looking for the ones that won't study the word of God. He's looking for the ones, amen, that won't come to church regularly. He's looking for the ones, amen, that won't go to Bible study. He's looking for the ones, amen, that are out, amen, making excuses, that are uncommitted, that are out. He's looking for the ones, amen, that won't live right. Amen, he's looking for the ones that won't practice what they heard in the word of God, amen, through church. He's looking for those weak. He's looking for those idle. He's looking for those excuse-making Christians. And when he finds them, amen, he uses them as targets. They're easy targets to be led away from the pasture. Are you one of those weak Christians? Come on, somebody. Are you one of those lazy Christians? Amen. Are you one of those excuse-making Christians? Are you one of those uncommitted Christians? Are you one of those idle Christians? I got a question for you. Amen. Only you can answer that question. Are you one of those Christians that the enemy loves to see coming his way? Are you one of those Christians? You see, sin always shows you a way in, but it never shows you a way out. Amen. Don't be deceived by sin. It'll show you how to get in. It'll make it easy for you, amen, to access. But if you want to get free from it, amen, it'll attach itself to you. If you want to get delivered from it, it'll attach itself, amen, with sore ties. It'll attach itself, amen, with addiction. It'll attach itself to you, amen, so it's not so easy to get out. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Stay in the pasture where there's safety. Stay in the pasture, amen, where God can watch over you. Stay in the pasture where you won't be deceived by sin. You see, like that lost sheep, like that lost coin, amen, sin makes us off course. Like that lost sheep, like that lost coin, sin causes us to be out of place. Like that lost sheep, sin puts us in danger. Like that lost coin, sin makes us go astray. Like that lost sheep, amen, away from safety, amen, we have to realize that we need to stay in the pasture. Like that lost coin, sin causes us to get out of our rightful position. Amen, sin leads us astray. And although it was my sin that led me astray, it was God's love that came and found me. Amen. Although it was my sin that made me arrogantly disobey his word, made me arrogantly time after time do my own thing, sin, my sin caused me to be arrogant about my disobedience. Amen. It was his mercy that searched for me until he found me. Hallelujah. He searched for me until I finally obeyed. It was my sin that took his mercy for granted time after time. Amen. But it was his grace that chased me until I surrendered. It was my sin that caused me to betray him. Amen. It was my sin that caused me to spit on his face. Amen. But it was his compassion that never betrayed me that brought me back to the pasture. It was my sin that caused me to think I knew better than God. Amen. But it was his knowledge, amen, his wisdom that I didn't think I needed that saved me from my own ignorance. If you understand what I'm talking about, amen, give him some praise in his house. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. It was my sin. It was my sin that kept me fighting against the will of God. It was my sin that kept me saying, I ain't doing that church thing. I ain't gonna give my life to God. I'll do it when I feel like it. It was my sin that kept me away week after week after week after week. Amen. But it was God's love and his forgiveness and his kindness that fought for my deliverance. Although I fought against him with my sin, his kindness fought for my deliverance. So I can be in the place where I am today. Hallelujah. He's worthy of my praise. You see, like that shepherd, amen, with the lost sheep, God never stopped searching for me. You see, like that woman with the lost coin, God lit a lamp, amen, and brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, I'm preaching better. Y'all responded. I said, he lit a lamp, and he brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. I thank God for his amazing grace. His grace is amazing. It searched for me until it found me. It chased me until I surrendered. You see, when I didn't want his love still found me. You see, when I didn't want his mercy still chased me. You see, when I didn't want his compassion still never ran out. You see, when I didn't want his grace, when I wasn't looking for his grace still saved me. His grace still came where I was and brought me to where he is. I'm here today because of his amazing grace. You see, his love is reckless. His mercy is everlasting. His wisdom is overwhelming. His compassion is never-ending. His kindness is unyielding. His commitment to me is all in. Amen. He's all in like we are with the calves. He's all in. He does whatever it takes. Amen. His forgiveness is relentless. His grace is amazing. Hallelujah. I thank you for his grace. His amazing grace. His amazing grace. His grace is amazing. I deserve death, but his grace is amazing. I am not worthy of his mercy. I'm not worthy to be standing here preaching the word of God, but his grace is amazing. I cannot earn his love, but his grace is amazing. I ran from his ways time after time after time, but his grace is amazing. I despised him. I rejected him. Amen. I might as well have been there putting him on the cross, but his grace is amazing. You see, I'm the reason why he had to die in the first place. Amen. It was my sin that brought him to the cross. It was my dirty thinking that nailed him to the cross. It wasn't the nails that nailed him to the cross. It was me and my thinking. Amen. It was me and my actions. It was me and my sinful ways that put him on the cross, but his grace is amazing. You see, I'm the one that chose sin over God, over over and over and over again. Yet his grace saved me. His grace is amazing. I turn my back on God repeatedly. I turn my back so I can go back to my past. I turn my back, amen, so I can continue in my sin. I make excuses after excuses after excuses, amen, so I can continue doing what I wanted to do. But his grace is amazing. Amen. I did some disgraceful things. Some things I'm not proud of. Some things I'll never tell anybody about. Some things I'm really ashamed of. But his grace, hallelujah, is so amazing. His grace is amazing. His grace is amazing. I thank God for his amazing grace. Hallelujah. You see, these sheep strayed. And sometimes the sheep will stray because they're enticed. But sometimes I wasn't enticed. I just left. I didn't stray. I walked away. I said, I was tired of this church thing. I said, I have to get this. I'm out. Yes. I'm doing my own thing. The pastor called me. I said, whoo, ignore. I don't feel like talking to him. Glory. I don't feel like talking to him. Amen. I didn't stray away. It wasn't an accident. I got up and I packed up and I got out of there. But his grace, oh, hallelujah. His grace still found me. His grace still is amazing to me. Amen. I thank God for his amazing grace. Amen. Even when I don't deserve it, he's still giving to me. Anyway, I'm so grateful today, hallelujah, for his amazing grace. And when I stray, sometimes the shame of sin will cause me to think, us to think, that God is mad at us, which keeps us in the wilderness, keeps us away from the pasture. Although I didn't deserve his grace, and although I decided to get up and walk away, and although I was enticed by all these other things, it causes me to think, well, man, maybe God is mad. If I go back, it'll be too much shame. They won't accept me. They won't love me. Which keeps me from repenting. But we must realize God is not mad at us. He just wants us to repent. Come on, somebody. I said, God is not mad. He's not mad. He just wants you to repent. I don't care what you've done. Your sin will never exhaust the grace of God.
Amen.
I don't care what you've done. Your sin will never exhaust the grace of God. The only thing you can do is not accept him while you're here on the earth. That's the only thing you can do to mess up his grace. Because you waited too late. You took it for granted. If you learn to take his grace and love him in return. Amen. I don't care what you've done. Your sin will never exhaust the grace of God. Like that shepherd and the woman. They called their friends when they found what was lost. They called their friends and told them, listen, let's celebrate because I found my lost sheep. Let's celebrate. I found my lost coin. I lost my coin. Amen. And they said, girl, didn't you have 9 other coins? She said, yes, but I lost that one. Amen. And that one, it was gone. And I didn't know where it was. And I panicked and I freaked out. But I found it. I found it. Let's celebrate together. Hallelujah. Amen. And just like those people celebrated when they found what was lost, God celebrates us when we finally repent. Amen. Verse 7 lets us to know there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God. Amen. You see, repentance causes a celebration in the heavens. Amen. That's a good one. You ought to write that down. Repentance causes a celebration in the heavens. But many of us are so selfish, it's disgusting. So self-centered in our approach toward God. Many of us are one-sided as it relates to the things of God. We understand his love. A message like this is right up our alley. We don't have to do nothing. All we got to do is accept his love. Oh, you know you preach, Pastor. You know you preach it. That's my message. I love that message. We ain't got to do nothing. All we got to do is receive it. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I receive it. I receive it. Yes. We love those type of messages because we're selfish. We're one-sided. You see, a lot of us can accept his love, we accept his joy, we accept all that he's done. But a lot of us don't really love him in return. St. John 14:15 says, if you really love me, if you truly love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I ask you to do. You'll do the things that I say. We say we love God, but our actions say different. Uh-oh, I'm going to say that again. We say we love God out of our mouth, but our actions say different. Make sure your intentions, intentions line up with your actions. Line up your actions to make sure they match your intentions. Amen. That's something to think about from the pastor's desk. Amen. You can think about that a lot. Amen. You can write that down. Amen. That's a good word. Amen. Make sure you line up your actions
to match your intentions. They should match. If you really love me, you may have good intentions. But if you really love me, your actions should say something. Amen. We must stop being one-sided as it relates to God. We must stop being, amen, selfish and surrender to his grace.
You see, once we understand his grace, we have a responsibility to serve him in response. Once we understand his love, we understand, amen, that it was his grace, amen, that I didn't deserve, that got me in the door. Now that I'm in the door, I have to work my butt off to appreciate all that he's done. Now I'm never going to work my butt off, and I'm never going to pay it off. I'm never going to pay the debt. I can never be worthy enough to get in. But because of my gratitude toward him, amen, I'm going to do the best that I can. It's like somebody got you a job. You didn't deserve the job. You didn't got a degree. You know, when I worked at Chick-fil-A as a general manager, I got so many people in there. People I knew, family members, all these things. And they didn't deserve it. They didn't ever work anywhere before. The only reason they're there is because I hired them. I gave them the job. But when they get in, a lot of times, I mean, sometimes they get in and work, but many times they get in because they didn't have to earn it. They get in and they don't do nothing. They embarrass you. They make you look bad. You put your name on the line for them, they don't show up no more. They start calling off, do all these crazy stuff because they don't appreciate.
Yeah.
Same thing we do. We get in the grace of God, we understand his grace, and we continue to sin because we know God will forgive us. We continue to not show up because we know, well, it'll be okay, I'll just get there next week.
Right.
We continue not to do it because we know, well, we always have an excuse. We always have a justification in our head, in our mind. We take for granted the fact that he got us in the door. We take for granted the fact that we don't deserve to be here in the first place, so we need to work our butt off to appreciate all that he's done for us. Don't deserve to be here in the first place, so now I'm going to give him my all to show him my gratitude. No, I can't pay it off, but I can show him that I appreciate everything that he did for me.
Amen.
What my actions, amen, are not to pay off my sin. Jesus paid my sin off for me. My actions are not to pay off my sin. My actions are to show my gratitude. To show, yes, he truly saved me. Yes, he truly changed me from the inside out. Yes, I truly accepted his grace. I truly accepted his mercy. His mercy is not for me to stay the same. His grace is not for me to continue in my sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Wow.
God forbid. Shall we continue? Absolutely not. Shall we continue to sin just because we know we don't get away with it? God forbid. Absolutely not. Because that thinking is one-sided. That thinking will cause us to accept but never give. We have to accept it, but then we have to give our best, give our all, make him priority because he gave his all for us. I'm preaching my message before I get to it, but it's okay. It's good.
Right.
I might say it again, but it's okay.
Take your time, sir.
You see, God's love is so reckless, and since it's so reckless, I should be reckless in my approach toward him. You see, his mercy is everlasting, amen, and my commitment to him should be long-lasting. Amen, but we're here today and not here next week. We're here today and gone tomorrow. We're committed today and by tonight we don't know. We love him today, we serve him today, but by tonight, he's all right. Amen. I got this other thing I'm focused on right now. I really don't really care about that. Amen, I know I heard it in church and that's great. Hallelujah. Amen, but we forget about all the things, all our commitments that we made. By tonight, I'm not even talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about tonight. By the time we get in the car, we listening to our 93 FM, WZAK, 107.9, all these things that we listening to, and we forgot all our commitments, all our cares. You get in the car, you get in an argument, your wife get on your nerves. Amen. Or your husband, amen. Not in most cases, your wife. It's your wife.
Amen, amen sir.
Great.
Amen.
In most cases, your wife, amen, she tell her, listen, we get in the car and our wife say something and we forgot all about our commitments just made a few hours ago. We have to realize, amen, that his grace, his mercy is everlasting. Our commitment should be long lasting, lasting longer than the day that you made it, lasting longer, amen, than the week that you made it, lasting longer, amen, our commitments to him should be long lasting. You see, his love is everlasting. It endures forever. His kindness is relentless. I should be relentless in serving him. His grace is amazing, and my service to him should be so good, amen, that he thinks my service is amazing. His compassion is all in, and I should be all in. You see, not just for the Cavs, I'm all in for them too. Amen. Go Cavs, and we're going to win the championship. Glory be to God. I'm here to tell you today, amen, thus saith, I'm just playing, I'm not going to say that. But we should
prophesy.
I'm not going to do that. Amen. But we should especially be all in for Jesus. Amen. We should be doing whatever it takes for the Lord. Come on, somebody. Amen. We should be doing whatever it takes to be committed to Christ. You see, St. Luke 14, verse 33 says, if you're not willing to take what's dearest and nearest and dearest to you, whatever plans you have, whatever, whether it be people or plans, and kiss it goodbye, you're not worthy to be my disciple. See, the scripture is showing us we can't truly call ourselves a Christian if we're not ready to put God first in our lives.
Amen.
If God is not first in your life, then you are not his disciple. Amen. The scripture said, I didn't say the scripture said. If he's not first in your life, then your priorities are out of whack. If God is not first in your life, then you need to make some changes in your life. The scripture tells us, amen, what we ought to do. And many of us, when we read the scripture or scripture like this, we say, well, how can a loving God ask me to give up everything just to follow him? You mean I can't smoke no more? I can't drink no more? I can't do this no more? I can't do that no more? I got to give up my wife? I got to give up my kids? I got to give up all these things just to follow him? How could a loving God ask me to do that? We think this way because we're one-sided. We think this way because we're selfish in our approach to God. We can accept, but we're not willing to give. We allow ourselves, amen, to take his amazing grace for granted. We allow ourselves to do the bare minimum when it comes to God. You see, yesterday I took my son out for his birthday. 7 years old, I took him out to a place. We wanted to go to the Amish country, but I ain't got that kind of money. So I said, listen, we're going to do something different, amen. And he's only seven. He might turn 10 or nothing like that. Went to the Amish country when he turned 5 because it was a milestone birthday. And we had a good time, had fun, amen. But he wanted to go back. I said, listen, you need a job, and we're not doing it, amen. So went somewhere else instead that I thought was fun. Amen. He had a great time. He enjoyed himself. I spent a lot of money, though.
Oh, yes.
Where'd you go?
We went to Scene 75. It's in Brunswick. Real nice. Real nice place. Almost like Dave and Buster's, if you will. Dave and Buster's. And went to other place. I can't think of it. But it's like them combined. Go-karts and entertainment. Big arcade for the kids. A whole bunch of different things. They had a great time. Spent a lot of money, though. Because you gotta pay per thing that you play. You gotta pay $1. It costs $1 per thing. You gotta swipe the card. It's crazy. Spent a lot of money, load the card up, eat food, all these things. I still add up eventually. It costs money. It's free to get in, but it just costs money eventually. And I spent a lot of money. But I didn't mind because he had a good time. He had a smile on his face. And I said, he don't remember this for a long time. And that's going to make me a dad of the year or something. And then after that, I realized I need to go to the store because we got communion Sunday and I forgot all about these things I would need to buy. And I said, oh, shoot, I need to go. So I ran to the store. Was it a Christian bookstore? Bought the communion stuff, got everything I needed. Then I said, well, I'm going to get a new Bible because my old Bible I had for a long time, my kids started to look at it and tear it up. And I like the Bible I have, so I want the same commentary and everything. So I went to get the same exact Bible. And I looked at the price. I'm like, ooh!
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Can afford that?
Yeah.
Immediately, I had to check myself. Because I looked at the price of the Bible, and I was reluctant. But when they told me the price of the place just 20 minutes ago, I just pulled it out. There you go. My son's going to be happy. But when it came to God, I'm reluctant. I'm stingy. I can't do it. And we do the same thing. When it comes to things that we want in life, we go to the stores, and they tell us hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars, and we tell them, okay, charge it! Come on, we get what we want in the world. We pay all this money and do all these things in the world. But when it comes to God, we stingy, we reluctant. We give $10 an offering, we feel like we're doing something. We're happy with ourselves. But when it comes to something else outside of the world, outside of the church, amen, we go do it, amen. They tell us our price, even if it's overpriced and overcharged, we still pay because we want it. But when it comes to his amazing grace, because of his grace, because of his mercy, amen, he don't require, amen, the same thing that the world requires, we don't give it. We have to check ourselves. Because he's not going to make us do anything. You see, the world will make you do it. Uncle Sam will make you pay their money. They're going to take their taxes off the top. No matter what you're doing. If you don't pay, oh, trust me, they're coming after you.
Oh, Oh, yes.
They're going to find you. I don't care if it's years later. I don't care if you're about to retire. They're going to find you. Right. So you have to realize, amen, they're going to get their money. They're going to force you to do what they want you to do. God is not like that. But because he doesn't force us, doesn't mean we shouldn't give him our best.
Yes.
Because he doesn't, his anger, amen, his delay, his wrath, his delay, the punishment, his delay doesn't mean that we should be half-hearted in our approach toward him. Just because he is not forcing us like the government, if you will. Because he's not forcing us like these stores, if you will. Doesn't mean we shouldn't give him our best.
Amen.
Doesn't mean he don't deserve our best. We have to give him our best. Stop giving him half-hearted attempts and give him your best. He needs to be first in our lives. And that's what he requires. That's what he wants. So,
we need to stop doing the bare minimum and take it as things for granted. Don't be stingy or lazy or complacent when it comes to God. We want all the benefits, but none of the sacrifice. But we must be willing to pay a high price to be a Christian. You see, the Lord paid a high price for us. He paid a high price to save us, to redeem us. He paid a high price to forgive us. He paid a high price so I qualify with no effort. He gave everything he had. He gave his whole life. He died in my place. I deserve that death. I deserve that beating. I deserve what Jesus received, but he gave it. He did it for me. Now it's time for me to pay a high price to serve him in return. As I get ready to close, salvation is free, but holiness goes on to cost you. Salvation is free, but living right will cost you. Salvation is free, but being in God's will cost you. But many of us aren't interested in holiness. We're not interested in righteousness. We're not interested in being in the will of God. We're not interested in living right. Amen. Because we're one-sided. We want to receive his grace, receive his mercy. But holiness, I'm cool. Righteousness, I'll do the best I can. Bible study, I don't feel like it. Tithes, I can't afford it. I'll give God. I'll take God's best. I'll take everything he has for me. But me, for me, what I have to do, not really. Because we're one-sided in our approach to our God. We have to do better, beloved. We have to do better, amen, as it relates to the things of God. Because God gave his all. He gave his best. We need to be giving our all. We need to be giving our best in return. Verse 10 lets us to know, amen, because he wants us to give our best. We have to pay the high price. We must be willing to repent. Verse 10 says there's joy in the presence of angels when even one sin repents. You see, his joy comes from repentance, not from complacency.
Amen.
The purpose of his amazing grace is not so I stay the same. It's the purpose of his amazing grace is so that I change. The purpose of his amazing grace is not so that I remain in my sin. The purpose of his amazing grace is so I can repent from my sin. The purpose of his amazing grace is, amen, not so that I can sit back and soak it up and enjoy everything that he gave me. The purpose of his amazing grace is so that I can become more like him. We must be willing to pay the high cost, amen, to be his disciple. Amen. He gave everything that he had for us. We must give everything that we have in return. It's important for us to realize that his grace is amazing. And so my service and commitment to him should also be amazing. Let's thank God. Put our hands together in this house. And thank you for his word and for his grace and for his love. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're here today and you've never heard the gospel message that Jesus came to die for your sins. You're here today and you didn't know that sin was any time you go against the word of God. You go contrary to what God said. Amen. You go left when God said you need to go right. You're in sin. And that it messed up because all of us, the scripture said, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us, amen, like sheep have gone astray. None of us, amen, are perfect. And none of us, amen, won't make a mistake. And all of us, amen, were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So it seems impossible for me to keep all these things. It seems impossible for me to serve him the way he requires me and wants me to serve him. But Jesus said, listen, although they brought the things on themselves, they brought the punishment and the penalty of sin on themselves, I'm going to die, be the one to die, to pay the cost, to pay the high cost, to keep them, amen, from being separated from me for eternity. Jesus came and he died. He died on the cross for your sins, for the things you did wrong. Nails in his hands for the things you touched you never should have touched. Nails in his feet for the places your feet took you, you never should have gone. Pierced in the side. Amen.
a beat all night long, whipped for your healing. Crown of thorns in his hand for the thoughts you thought you never should have thought. Amen. Thoughts, amen, that are not godly. Thoughts that are not holy. Thoughts that are not righteous. Amen. Crown of thorns in his head to pay the penalty for all your righteous thinking. God is a good God. He died. Jesus died, and not only did he die, amen, the scripture said he was risen on the third day. And he's now alive and well seated at the right hand of God. That's the death, the burial, the resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you never heard the gospel, won't you come and invite Jesus into your heart? If you're here today and you know the gospel, you know what Jesus did, amen. You understand it, you believe it, amen. But he's not the Lord of your life. You go where you want to go. You do what you want to do. You say what you want to say. You live how you want to live. You are the Lord of your life. You are on the throne. Your feelings are on the throne. What you think is on the throne. How you feel is on the throne. All these things are leading you, are guiding you, are directing you. Surrender today. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Won't you come? Let us pray for you. If you're here today, you just desire prayer for any reason, now is the time. Today is the day. Won't you come? Won't you come? Hallelujah.
I stand amazed by your love. I stand amazed by your power. I stand amazed by your grace. So amazing. By your grace, so amazing, so amazing, oh, oh, amazing.
Let me say,
oh, amazing,
break, 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 break,
time is offered time. Hallelujah. Amen. My cheerful giver here. We thank God for my cheerful giver. Amen. We need more cheerful givers in the house. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Make sure you give your best gifts to the Lord. Don't hold back. Amen.
Amen.
Give your best gifts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Make sure you fill out the envelopes provided. Put your name on them. Amen. If you need text giving, text your gift. You forgot to get cash out the bank, no problem. Text your gift. Amen. You need a charger offering, no problem. We got a credit card machine, we can take it. Could take your good checks. If you're watching online, you can text your donations to the number on the screen, 216-600-0075. Amen. Please, please, please. Hallelujah. Don't hold back. Hallelujah. Thank you.